Let's turn to Hebrews, the 5th chapter. Hebrews 5, 4 and 5. And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron, so also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest. But he that said unto him, Thou art my son, the day have I begotten thee. A man does not call himself to be a priest. He must be called of God. And in the sanctuary of the home, patterned after the temple in heaven, there must be a priest, an anointed priest. Oh, men may make a building, and men and women may go through all the legal forms of getting married. They may set up housekeeping, and they may have success, good, bad, or indifferent. But we're studying something more than that. We're studying how to have heaven on earth, how to build in this world a copy of the heavenly temple. Is that right? You can't have anything greater or more wonderful than that. And it's a shame to settle for any less. This is the destiny of the children of the King. But since it is something quite different from what the world envisions, the method of arriving at the goal is very different. And Christian courtship is not for fun, just to get thrills together. Christian courtship is not a game to see who's going to win. Christian courtship is not a net to try to catch something or somebody. Christian courtship is not any of those. Christian courtship is the sincere endeavor of two young people to find out whether in God's plan and purpose they are to be companions. That's what Christian courtship is. And so we'll put that down here today. Step number 5 in our progression, Christian courtship. Now we've found the text that says a prudent wife is from the Lord. And whoso findeth such a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. And in Christian courtship, counsel has already been entered into with God-fearing parents, with God-fearing, God-chosen counselors. A real foundation has been laid in the home of faithfulness, obedience, and love. And there is a conviction based on all these preliminary steps, that the time has come to seek a companion, that there is at least that measure of readiness that indicates that it is time to proceed, and there has been counsel over the question of who. You noted in our last lesson that I emphasized that on this point, a young man should seek counsel not only of his own counselors, but of the guardians and protectors of the young woman. I'd like to give you a couple of instances, and I could tell you others, in the 40 years that I have been engaged in pastoral and evangelistic work, I have seen quite a bit of human experience. I want to tell you about an experience that I witnessed several years ago couple of young people were married several years later after a child had been born. They went to another state. One day the husband just disappeared. Presently, one of the relatives was confronted with a claim for forged checks. And the FBI were on the trail of this man by this time. When he was picked up, they found that he was an escaped convict of several years before. And, of course, he not only had to meet the charges of these forged checks, but he had to go back and serve the term which he'd escaped. Now, how did this young woman marry this young man with that kind of a record? Did she know he had that record? No, she didn't know anything about it. That's the point. She didn't know his record. Well, you say everybody makes mistakes. Maybe he was trying to turn over a new leaf. He was trying to turn several over and cover them up, I can assure you. But now, is a Christian young woman at the mercy of that sort of thing? If a young man moves into a community, is it his right, his privilege, to just ask any girl he wants for a date, and they begin to go together and fall in love and get married? And what about it? Yeah, let's see. Let's take our Adventist home here. See what we can find. We'll take this first one from Messages to Young People, 439. This is an Adventist home too, but we'll take it from Messages to Young People. Second paragraph. Before giving her hand in marriage, every woman should inquire whether he with whom she is about to unite her destiny is worthy. What has been his past record? Is his life pure? Now, a young woman, before she gives her hand in marriage, before she says, yes, I'll accept you as a companion, she's to do what? She's to do what? Inquire whether he with whom she's about to unite her destiny is worthy. What has been his past record? Let me ask you a question, and you may think the question is naive. Of whom should she inquire it? Of the young man? Should she say, John, Harry, before I go any further with this, I want to know about your past record. You think if the young woman that I'm telling you about had asked that question, he would have said, well, really, I have a criminal record. I'm an escaped convict. Do you think he would have? Do you see what I mean, dear friend? Well then, how is the young woman going to find out? That's what she has counselors for. That's what she has protectors for. That's what she has guardians for. That's what she has a father or an older brother or somebody that can act in their stead. They're the ones that are to do the detective work if any needs to be done. It's her parents, or those that stand in the place of parents to her, that God has not only given them the privilege, he's given them the duty of finding out whether that young man is worthy. If it were your daughter, wouldn't you want some sort of protection for her? Or is she valuable? That's the question. You know, I've thought about it. Over in England, for hundreds of years, they've had the royal family, king and the queen and the children as they grow up. And, of course, there comes a time, like with everybody else, when they're of a marriageable age. The present Queen of England, Elizabeth, you suppose when she got of a marriageable age that somebody just saw her on the street and said, Elizabeth, what are you doing next Saturday night? You suppose they did? Do you suppose they just anybody called her up on the telephone and said, how about going somewhere with me, Elizabeth? Do you suppose they did? Do you suppose any young man that even took her out once had to pass the royal scrutiny? Why, of course. Do you see what I'm getting at, dear friend? Well, girls, you're worth more to those whose opinion is worth having. You're worth more to those who love you than Queen Elizabeth. That's right. You don't belong to the common herd. You're valuable. You are precious. And it is your privilege to value yourself accordingly. And before you give away the most wonderful thing that you can control, yourself, remember, there are a number of steps to be taken and a number of questions to be asked. And God in His providence has arranged or will arrange, if you want it, those who can act as guardians, protectors, your God-fearing parents or others who will stand in their place. Well, let me tell you about another experience. This was a widow. Now, she'd already been married. She had a child or two. And of course, as somebody was telling me the other day, all this instruction about young people needing counsel, that's for just young people. And if you get in your 20s, or at least in your 30s or 40s, then you don't need that anymore. You're an adult. You're mature. Well, this woman was a widow. She'd already had experience, and she wasn't a teenager. Huh? She fell in love with a man, and as it turned out later, the man happened to be an alcoholic. You know, it's wonderful sometimes what the influence of courtship can be to help a man quit drinking, at least during the courtship. And the man himself may be deceived. And he may tell the girl, and he may tell his friends, well, I've met somebody that's really changed my life. He's infatuated. Well, this man married this widow, but the turning back to the bottle was only a matter of time. Pretty soon he began to take a very unkind and even at times a cruel attitude toward the children. One of the children was grown. The others were in the home. And finally, this older child had to come and rescue his mother from a situation that had become intolerable. Now, both these experiences that I'm telling you about could have been avoided if there had been what? Counsel. When? Before. Before. Believe me, folks, there's a lot of counseling today that's like trying to lock the barn after the horse is stolen. The time to counsel is before. It's often too late to counsel. It's seldom too early. All right. Now the reference we've just read here in Messages to Young People says that a woman should inquire when? Before. What has been his past record? Is his life pure? So forth. And the more of this that can be done before courtship even begins, the better. But it shouldn't stop once courtship is begun. Pre-courtship counsel is for the purpose of sifting out as many undesirables as possible. And this relates, dear friends, not merely to escape convicts or alcoholics. This relates to everybody. I was counseling with some folks a good many hundred miles from here not too long ago. And the question was about a certain young man. Parents were counseling with me in this case. This young man was interested in their daughter. And we discussed, the three of us, a number of things. There was one outstanding disadvantage or handicap. But as we studied the thing, we came to this conclusion, which was a wise one, that it wasn't just that one thing might be changed, but that these two young people simply weren't suited for each other. Oh, but somebody says, Brother Frazee, how do you know whether they were or not? Maybe if they'd try it, they'd find out that they were. Yes, maybe they would. That is the problem, my dear friend. Many young people who aren't suited for each other at all, when they go together, they find that they are, but they see a mirage. It's an illusion. It's a delusion. And this is why frank counsel with people who have no axe to grind is so important, and it is so important for it to be before the heart is involved. As I say, I've been watching this thing for a number of years, and these principles we're studying in this class, I thank the Lord that I've seen them work out, both in keeping young people from that which would be a disappointment, and also in finally bringing them to successful Christian homes. But you know, it's a wonderful thing when a Christian young woman has the opportunity to decide whether or not she's interested in courtship with a certain young man before her heart is involved at all. In the way things are run in the world today, a pattern that many young people follow is this. They're going together, and youngsters today, as you know, start going, not in high school, maybe it's in junior high school, sometimes even before, more is the pity. But the young people that finally marry in that mix-up, many times, at the time they started the friendship that ends in marriage, neither one of them had what are called serious intentions. And in some cases, one or the other, if they had been asked, in advance, they would have said, no, no, not that. But what happens? Because the conventional thing in teenage society today is run with this one and that one and this one and that one. People follow that pattern. And somewhere along the line, they find themselves in love, as it's called. And in quite a number of cases, that leads on to marriage. May I tell you, friends, I think you young people are mature enough for me to tell you this plain fact. Do you know that 1/4 of the brides who are married today are pregnant when they stand at the altar? That's right. That's what we're dealing with in American society today. So you see, when we come to a method entirely different, we have to keep going over these references and seeing how different these methods are. We cannot follow the conventional pattern in which young people simply fall in love. We are dealing with something infinitely better. Now, in Christian courtship, two young people who have been properly screened, and I use that word advisedly, properly screened by their own counselors and each other's counselors, they enter into a serious, earnest endeavor to find out for themselves whether God has called them together. Now, I want to stress that the beginning of Christian courtship does not in any way indicate that either party is sure that this is God's choice. It simply means that they think it may be. And there's a lot of difference between those two things. A Christian will not even begin courtship if he knows that the other party is somebody that shouldn't be considered. Take, for instance, this matter of marrying out of the truth. Do you know the reason people marry out of the truth? Because they go with somebody out of the truth. It's that simple. If a Christian young woman never went with an unbeliever, she'd never marry him. Isn't that right? The problem is in the beginning. So both young men and young women, make this a rule of your life. Never go with somebody that you wouldn't marry. Now that doesn't mean you're going to marry anybody you go with, but it just means that. You're not even going to go with somebody that you wouldn't consider marrying. Why would you? This is not for flirtation. This is not for play-like. Oh no. And may I share this with you that some wise person thought out? He who marries a child of the devil may expect to have trouble with his father-in-law. That's right. You can write that down, remember. And so the Bible says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. 2 Corinthians 6:14. So a Christian won't even consider courtship with an unbeliever. And there are plenty of people in the church that you wouldn't consider courtship with if by courtship you mean a serious attempt to find out what God's will is in the matter. But now, do you know one of the biggest problems in Christian courtship or any kind of courtship? It's haste. Now I want to notice a few statements here. Now in Messages to Young People, 438 beginning. 438. What are the first two words in the first paragraph on that page? Be not in haste. Early marriages should not be encouraged. But I want to tell you something. And here again, I speak from watching things over many years. There are young people who enter into Christian courtship with a serious purpose to take plenty of time. But after they've been in the courtship for just a little while, the tendency is to accelerate the process, unless the answer is negative. Let me tell you, the more certain is the purpose of God in two young people being married, the more desirable it is for them to take plenty of time. It is not merely to find out if these two are for each other. It is to give time for acquaintance that can come only in this way. No matter how much you've observed another young person in school, in Sabbath school, in the home, in missionary activities, at work, in a dozen other ways. There is an acquaintance that can come only in close fellowship, in visiting, the two of you together. This is for Christian courtship. It is not for the pre-courtship period. That's what Christian courtship is all about. It's the serious endeavor of two young people to get acquainted, to find out, as they compare their principles, their convictions, their attitudes, their vision of life work, their standards, their ambitions, their likes and dislikes, their burdens, to find out whether or not they are two that God has planned to be together. But this says, be not what? Be not in haste.